The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties, and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state, and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and today's investor spotlight is all about turnkey properties. So Marcus Murray from episode 111 talks all about his experience of not only investing in his local city, but also out of state, in the power of investing in turnkey properties. He's also going to talk about the importance of property managers and what it takes to run a real estate empire from out of state using turnkey properties. And so let's get into it. Marcus Murray, episode 111, the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight. Let's go.
Here's just the reality, right? You both live in California. Y'all are in Sacramento area. I'm in LA. It's expensive, right? You know, now we're not talking about FHA and those opportunities and being able to get into a property that way. We're talking about buying as an investor. $500,000. I ain't got 20%. I'm pretty sure you don't want to part 20% on that. So, you know, I encourage everyone who is in an expensive market, whether it's Miami, New York, whatever, consider investing out of state. You know, these two have done it. From California to the East Coast to the South, it's possible. And they pick up the phone, talk to some people, do your market research and see if there's a good opportunity. And it's probably a better option or an option to look into instead of just looking at where you're at. It's too expensive, but there's other options out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it's really all about relationships too, Sam. Like once you build those relationships with people, man, it's the possibilities are endless. So after the first one, you know, we did the front end work all virtual, but when we went to, even we signed remote. So we had a notary come to our home and we signed remote and, you know, sent wired the money remote and everything. But we like to kind of do like a mini trip just to go see the house maybe, and then hand the keys to the property manager, meet them. And so we did that. And then you get to meet your agent face to face, you know, after those phone conversations, you get to meet the property manager, and then you just begin to build a relationship with them. And so the next transactions only go smoother. The next two homes, Sam, I don't even think I talked to my agent on the phone. We literally just would just text message each other. I like this house. Okay. And we want to offer X, you know, all right, I'm sending it to the listing agent now. They accepted. Da, da, da. I mean, we didn't even talk on the phone. It just became so seamless that this is like, it's really easier than a lot of people think.
Definitely. So when you're looking at properties or in this particular market, what were you looking for? Were there certain prices? You were looking for certain like rents and cash flow you wanted? Like, how did you figure out? I know, of course, the principles and the basics are the same, but it's a different market. So how did you settle on, you know, what would work for you two?
Man, great stuff. So for this market, this is not a high equity area. So the prices of the homes don't really raise drastically in Montgomery, but it seemed like a very good cash flow situation. So we had to take that in consideration. And really for what we're trying to do, which is retire early, the cash flow thing was great for us. So we said, you know what, this will be a good area to really facilitate that. We may not get the huge equity like we got in Greensboro, but that's okay because the cash flow is there. And that means we can rinse and repeat and do it, you know, stay in this market potentially longer than we could before we were priced out of Greensboro. So that was one thing we definitely took into consideration. And then, you know, you have to assess your risk tolerance. Mm-hmm. My wife, sometimes I listen to a lot of these, you know, single men who are investors, and I'm just like, man, that must be cool to just kind of just, you know what I'm saying, do more risky things because I'm a more risky guy. But with my wife, she has a level of security that she needs, right? So they had to be turnkey. She doesn't like decks and, like, you know, a lot of stairs for some reason. That makes her feel a little on edge. You know, what if someone slips? So those are things that I, you know, we had to consider when we were looking. You know, we wanted homes that were really turnkey, didn't need a lot of work. So those were all things that we were going into it looking for. And as far as return, you know, I was excited because the spreads here were a little bit more than Greensboro. Greensboro, we're getting, mm-hmm. you know, right around the 1% rural return. Here it's a little higher, 1.3, 1.4. So we were happy about that. And we were willing to live in to buy in an area that didn't, you know, the home prices doesn't go as quickly mm-hmm. in order to get that higher cash flow. So that was big for us.
Definitely. And it's something you mentioned a couple of times, turnkey. And, you know, there are different approaches in real estate, right? Some people, you know, plenty of people love, like, I want a full gut job. I want to do a full rehab. Even if I'm from out of state, I don't care. I want to take it on, and that's my thing. And it's sexy, right? But another approach is just buying something that needs very little or nothing that you can put a tenant in and start collecting rent. So can you talk more about that approach? And I know, of course, like the risk tolerance and so forth is part of it, but can you explain a bit more about the benefits of just buying something that's ready, more or less ready to go?
Oh man, this is great stuff. So I love watching people do flips, right? I love, you know, the HGTV stuff and just, you know, seeing the process. But it's like, I know that probably wouldn't be for me, you know, mm-hmm. definitely wouldn't be for my wife. So the turnkey thing just really puts us at ease that we can go there. First of all, we're buying remote, so that's you're already, you know, kind of stepping out there doing that. Then you go, a lot of times you're there for maybe 3-4 days, you take a look at the property, you get the keys and you pass the keys over to the property manager and you go back 2,000 miles away. It's a lot more peace of mind for us knowing that, man, all they really have to do is do a deep cleaning or, you know, maybe do some paint and man, they'll have a tenant in there within, you know, 2-3 weeks. There's something very comforting about that. Like, and then once you get that tenant in, cause we like to get a tenant in before we have to make the first mortgage payment. I'm not gonna lie. I don't want to make any payments myself. So when you get that call, like, yep, we got a tenant, they'll be starting, you know, first to next month. It's just like, man, let's do this. That was too easy. Let's do this again. There's something about that. Now you have to consider, you might not get as much return as you would if you got something that needed a whole bunch of work and you could get it for dirt cheap. But at the same time, we're not putting that sweat equity in either. And so for us, it makes it easier for us to turn and do the next when it really causes minimal heartache, you know? So that's kind of big for us.
Definitely. And property managers, people have different opinions. People have different experiences. What has worked for you two in, or you know what, better question, how's your experience been with property managers and what are some suggestions you have for how somebody can do their best to choose a good property manager?
Now this is a big one because, man, Sam, so in North Carolina, our property manager there, they spoiled us rotten, man. The sweetest people you will ever meet. They go above and beyond. They're just, you couldn't ask for a better property manager. And I've heard a lot of investors, you know, listening to podcasts and listening to other investors talk about the importance of a good property manager, man. You can't really even put into words that if you're out of state, how important a property manager, a good property manager is. And so we've had some struggles, you know, with the current manager, but, you know, they get tenants in, they address the problems. And, you know, you want someone, when you're looking for a property manager, you want someone who is going, who has a good attention to detail, who is going to meet the tenant's needs quickly, who will respond to your request quickly, your phone calls quickly. And so those are just things you want to look for. And you want to give, I do want to say this, you want to give them grace. You are hiring them, so you can fire and move on, but you want to give them grace because it's a hard job, you know? And when you look at what they're getting for what they do, I mean, they do a lot of work for, you know, in our case, $80 a month, you know what I mean? That's a lot of, I mean, it can be minimal work for them once they get a good tenant and they have a good property. But when there's work to be done and there's an issue and this issue, it could be a lot of work for them. So I try to consider that when dealing with the property manager. But all in all, we've had a fairly pleasant experience with our property managers. But I do have another couple managers in the tuck if the things don't work out. So that's important to have because you want to have the best experience. You want to keep tenants in there. You want to keep your tenants happy and you want to keep your home up. You know, you don't want things going unfixed and then turning into bigger problems. So some things to think about.
Definitely. That makes sense. Would you say communication is one of the challenges that you're currently having?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the communication. Here's the thing too. Sam, I know you have homes in other parts of the country. In the South, man, when compared to Cali, they just be, they get to when they get to it, man. You know what I mean? Their phone calls, it's a lot. It's just a different energy and I love it. But sometimes you're waiting for a quicker, swifter response than you get. I've definitely noticed that. But aside from that, you know, communication is definitely the most important thing. You know, getting back to me when I have inquiries, getting back to the tenants when they have issues, it's important, man. And so, you know, as we scale this thing and then as we eventually are able to come off the jobs, I think we may try to manage our own properties. That's something that I definitely think we can do. It's just right now, it's just not very feasible for us to do that now. But it's something that we're looking into doing in the future for sure.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.